God's plan of eternal redemption was conceived before the foundation of the world. And it is that He would send His only begotten Son to come upon earth. How Jesus is fully God and yet fully man as the mediator to reconcile sinful men with the living God. This is God's eternal plan of salvation that we have been mentioning yesterday. That God has conceived right from the beginning for our eternal blessing. And so the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was as a Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But His second coming will be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge the world. Revelation chapter 5 verse 5. And judgment is coming. The Lord wants us to understand and see and realize the truth concerning the coming judgment. And the text that we are going to read is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 12. As we mentioned yesterday, the first judgment will be by water. The second will be by fire. And this text tells us that a time of judgment is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, I shall read to you from verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's why we coined the term recurrence. You know, it's same business, is as usual. But you would be able to see from our text that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24 how there are certain signs that points us to the certainty of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. You remember we mentioned during the time of the flood, it was a global catastrophe. And Noah preached for more than 100 years while he built the ark, telling the people of God that judgment is coming, judgment is coming. And the people mocked and they laughed at him. They said, where is the rain? What flood? I don't see any sign. Well, the sign is given in the Word of God. When God tells us by His Word, we better take heed. We better take note. We better take stock. This is what Peter is saying here. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. You see, the world before the flood consists of a water canopy that engulfed the entire globe. There was no rain, and the Bible tells us that the mist comes from the earth to water the earth. And when the global flood came, the Bible says the heavens were open and the deeps were open, and how the water from the top and the bottom just gushed out, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the entire earth was engulfed. It is a reality. The Lord tells us concerning that first judgment and how there are so many signs of fossils, you know, fossil fuel. The petrol that we get is evidence of the global flood. And then he tells us of another cosmic catastrophe that is going to come upon planet Earth, that has not come yet, but that will come, and it will come surely, certainly. And he wants us to take heed, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved against fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So what is the purpose of this second judgment? Why must Christ come again? Our text tells us in verse 7 that this fire is reserved against the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The word perdition there is a description of men who sin with no sense of repentance. On and on and on. As what Moses wrote before the time of the flood, the hearts of the men of the earth was wicked continually. And so the Lord tells us that this world, this earth that we live in, is reserved for a time of judgment. And he tells us that although he has not come yet, but the certainty of his coming must not be doubted by his people. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In the sight of God, there is no time factor, as it were. He transcends time. And he determines the events of history by his own determinate will, at his pleasure, at the right time he comes. And why is it that Christ has not come yet? Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. The Lord did not forget what he has prophesied, what he tells us concerning the judgment to come, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants us to know that he's giving us time. Time to repent if we have not repented. Time to bring our loved ones and friends who are still outside the kingdom, whom we love, whom we are very concerned about. The Lord wants us to realize that he is giving time. But the time that he gives to us will not tarry, because the time will come when judgment is nigh. And so when God gave Noah the instruction to board the ship, to mount the ark, to close the door, that was the time. And then pitter-patter, the rain came. And it did not stop until it covered the entire earth and all the living perished. There was no escape because the water rose above the highest mountains. But Noah, given divine wisdom from God, knew how to build a seaworthy craft to protect his family and his family of eight, including himself, were saved. And God wants you too to realize that we are living in a time when his judgment is nigh, and he wants us to be very concerned with the plight of the people around us, those who are still outside his kingdom. Then when judgment falls, when judgment comes, then it's too late. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." You know, have you heard a fighter jet flying just very close to you? Just yesterday, there was a fighter jet that flew just so close to our home. And I was outside, and the noise was deafening, terrible. I believe that this noise that is described here will be many, many, many times worse. For this will be a catastrophe of a global scale, of a magnitude we cannot imagine. Worse than the worst earthquakes that we have seen. Here it says, "And the elements shall melt with fervent heat." The elements are the most basic structures that God has created upon earth. And the Lord says that, you know, the heat, the judgment would be so great that even the elements would melt away. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. So all the things that you are doing upon earth with an earthly prophet, the Lord says here that it will be burned up. Meaning that, you know, you would suffer loss, great loss. "Seeing then," verse 11, "that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And so we mention that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must motivate us to Christian worship. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must also motivate us to Christian holiness. Because God comes to judge sinful men, to judge us after our sins. And if we will not live a pure life, God knows. And he will deal with us with a loss of rewards. We shall be dealing with that tonight, concerning the rewards that Jesus will bring with him when he comes. But here he wants us to realize and understand that life is not business as usual. But a time of judgment is coming. verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The Lord tells us that this world that we live in, this earth that we live in, is moving headlong towards a catastrophe that no mortal man can escape. And the Lord is giving to us one solution, only one solution to escape, and that's the rapture of the church. This is our next message. But here the Lord wants us to understand and know the times that we are living in. And He gives to us in Matthew chapter 24 the signs for us to understand that Jesus is coming again. Matthew chapter 24, which we have read earlier, when the disciples asked to the Lord Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" The disciples wanted to know. The Lord says, "I'm leaving you physically." Right? He would die, He would be resurrected, you would see Him for 40 days and 40 nights, and after that He would be ascended to heaven. And since the time when Christ was ascended to heaven in AD 30, it's been 2,000 years. And He promised to say that He will come again. In the way He would go, He would come again. And so the disciples, who were curious, were given understanding concerning the signs they are to look out for. And what are these signs that the Lord wants us to see? Well, firstly, you see in verse 4 and 5, a time of spiritual deception. Spiritual deception. Verse 4 says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Who is the true Christ, the true Messiah? It is the Jesus of the Bible. And this is a truth that we thank God He has revealed to us in His Word and recorded for us, so that we know of a surety what He has said. And by going to the Word of God in the Scriptures, we are able to identify the true Christ. And it is our privilege to have our spiritual eyes open. Remember, we said yesterday that there was one point in our lives when God intervened, and when the Lord intervened, His grace came upon us, His favor came upon us to help us to understand, to see the truth concerning the way of salvation. And it's so precious, isn't it, that God opened our spiritual eyes to know the Christ. It is this Jesus of the Bible. This is the Jesus of the Scripture that we are to receive for our eternal salvation. And that's why we said yesterday that it all begins with redemption. It all begins with salvation. When we receive the good news of the gospel, we are born again. We are no longer living in this three-dimensional physical life, in physical deadness or spiritual deadness. After this, we are going to speak about what is death. Okay. The Bible's understanding of death. So that God gives to us an awakening. God gives to us life. Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul uses the word there. What is that word? He says, the quickening. God made us alive. That's the word that is used there. That we receive spiritual life on that wonderful day of salvation, right? And that chart our eternal blessedness, and that gives to us our blessed hope. Why we are a people of hope, why we ought to be living as a people of hope, because we are a peculiar people, we are a treasured people, we are specially chosen by God. We are most peculiar citizens of the heavenly kingdom. The Lord wants us to understand the great privilege that we have as His children. And so He tells us that the day is coming when He is going to come to judge the world. And He tells us the first sign is spiritual deception in verse 4 and 5. And in verse 6 to 7a, He tells us of international conflict, wars and rumors of war in the last century. The world experienced two world wars. Has the heart of men turned better? Well, we thought that after the Second World War, life would be better. But if you were to look at the statistics, you would find that the bloodshed after the Second World War has not abated. Killings, scourgings, men destroying men with no let up. In fact, worse, international conflict. Matthew 24, verse 6 to 7 tells us. And we read it in the news. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so the Lord tells us that there is this recurrences of all these events coming. For nation, verse 7 says, shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And so you see that there would be conflict in the political arena. Between nations, between kingdoms, and that has not abated. From the Assyrian Empire, to the Babylonian Empire, to the Grecian Empire, to the Roman Empire, you see that one kingdom taking over another kingdom. Kingdom against kingdom, but the end is not yet. But the end is coming, the Lord says. When you see all these signs, and what is the third? Natural disasters. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. You know, we live in this part of the world where in the last 30 years or so, we have not experienced, as it were, utter poverty. But there are many parts of the world. There are many that have lived in the other parts of the world that have experienced utter poverty. I was visiting a family, and we were with this elderly gentleman together with his son, and he was not a believer, and he says that, you know, I think if I were to consider carefully, we in Singapore are really quite privileged. I own a HDB flat, and you know, I have a roof over my head, and there's a hawker center that's just downstairs where I can get my food, and I have my CPF whereby I could use for my old age. He says, I think I'm quite privileged, you know. Because as he thinks about the world around him, he realized that, wow, indeed, there is all this poverty that is going on all over the world. And today we are seeing poverty where? In the first world nations. Europe used to be the first of the first world. But today, how the many European nations are plunged into great debt. Debt that they cannot hope to service. Somehow the world is spinning out of control. Earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. You know, just before we came here, there was the earthquake in Sabah. Never heard of earthquake in Sabah, Mount Kinabalu, and how it affected Singaporeans. We live in a, as it were, in our island state where we hardly experience any tremor. But news was brought to us that some among us were impacted by the earthquake. And if you were to read the Bible and understand the signs of the times, what does it tell you? Well, it is a description, a warning sign concerning the coming of the Lord. That He will come as a judge. And that we better be prepared. Pestilences. You know, then you flip over the other side of the news. Right, that is the MERS. Right? Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. MERS is a viral respiratory disease caused by a coronavirus. They coined it MERS-CoV, and it was first identified in Saudi Arabia in 2012. Coronaviruses are a large family of viruses that can cause diseases. This is from the World Health Organization report. From the common cold to severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. We are all familiar with SARS because it hit hard. Remember, there was one year we were supposed to go for camp And then, you know, we could not leave Singapore, and camp was at Sentosa. Verse 7d tells us that there will nations shall rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquake in diverse places. You hear of earthquakes, you hear of pestilences, you hear of famines. Right? They are occurring in different places. Right? This MERS is occurring in this World Health Organization report in 25 countries. Iran, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Yemen, that's in the Middle East, 9 countries, Austria, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Netherlands, Turkey, and the United Kingdom, that's Europe, Algeria, Tunisia, Egypt in Africa, China, Malaysia, Republic of Korea, that's what we read of in the news over the last few weeks, the Philippines, that's in Asia, and the United States of America. Almost the entire world is plagued. And so the Lord tells us that the sign of His coming is foreshadowed by pestilences in diverse places. Earthquake in diverse places. Right? Earthquakes, you have heard of it. You know, we hear of it in Sabah. Then we heard of it just not a few weeks back in Japan. We have a friend who went for a visit to Japan and said that I experienced tremors in Japan, Taiwan, China, nearer to us, Malaysia. And verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The word described there for sorrows is the word that is used to describe the giving birth of a child. Labor pains. You know, labor pain, when it comes, initially, you know, you would think that it was okay. And then you find that the pain comes with increasing intensity. And you realize that, you know, it's time to rush to the hospital. We had our children during the wee hours in the morning. We were praying that the Lord be merciful, that it may not be during rush hour traffic. And so at 5 a.m., I brought my wife to the hospital. By 7, 8, the child came before the rush hour traffic. When the birth pang comes, when the labor pain comes, you know, the baby is to be delivered. You can't stop it. The pain becomes more and more intensive. And the Lord wants us to understand that as you see all these signs intensifying, the Lord's coming is nigh. And so the Lord tells us that this is the beginning of sorrows. The Lord wants us to understand and see the sign of the times, that it is not business as usual. Let us not build barns and tear down barns to build bigger barns, because we'll be disappointed by the barns that we build. Because these barns, when death strikes, we cannot bring it with us. As the Bible says, you come naked, you would go naked. The fourth sign, verse 9 and 10, fierce persecution. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. In the history of the world, there were two people that is hated most: the Jews and the Christians. If you make a study of the research, you'll be able to see how persecution is not abated. Verse 11, the fifth sign: widespread apostasy, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And so the Lord tells us that there will be a falling away of the faith. Many false prophets will come up, and that is why we have to hold on to the truth that God has given to us, so that we may be anchored. We may be able to distinguish truth from error, and to protect ourselves and our families. And then the Lord tells us the sixth sign: the coldness of the church. And because iniquity shall abound, verse 12 says, the love of many shall wax cold. How the world, or how the church, the Christian, the believers, live like the Laodicean church: cold, lukewarm. And that's why we have chosen this theme of the Lord's coming, so that we may understand that we are living in momentous times, that a time of judgment is coming, that we may not rest on our laurels and think that, you know, we are going to live forever upon this earth and enjoy this make-believe prosperity that this world seems to be having. This is a great illusion. You know, the churning out of the money printing machine for the nations around the world has been going on for the last 40 years. And a time of reckoning is coming. The seventh sign: the spread of the gospel around the world. Today we have internet. We have the media that is able to reach to all the world. And you see the many gospel stations, the many missionaries preaching and giving the gospel. And the Lord tells us that, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth for a witness unto the nations, then shall the end come. Missionary endeavors has also been going on in the last 300-400 years. And that's why the gospel came to us in Singapore. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The world would go on in their make-believe world of prosperity. But the Lord wants us to realize that it is not business as usual. A time of reckoning is coming. The signs of the times. Recurrence. May the Lord help us to see and understand that we are indeed living in momentous times. And may God give to us understanding that we may know the truth and order our lives accordingly. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy. May Thy Spirit come and continue to fill us as we study thy word. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.